Welcome to Arise Life, a community of believers being equipped, empowered, and released into their destiny. For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
You know, last week, I was just so stunned by your courage because it was, again, a difficult message, and yet you guys leaned in. You guys, I just looked around and I saw each of us doing our own work and wrestling with this issue. And we were talking about this story of Ruth, right? If you guys remember, the whole story is, you know, that we have Naomi and her husband, who means God is king, who instead of listening to God when things got hard, they left the land of promise, the house of bread. In the middle of a famine, they left the house of bread, the one place you want to be, and they went to the land of Moab, the place where you'll do the unthinkable to stay alive, just to survive. And in that place, though, when your goal is to survive, you won't. And in fact, that's what happened. Her husband died, and her two sons died. And the wives of her two sons were Moabite women, women who had been raised with a pagan god who did horrible things. And yet, when they're given the option, one says, I'm gonna stay here. And the other says, Ruth, whose name means friendship, says, Naomi, I'm with you. Your God is my God. You might not think much of your God, but I know your God is way better than this God I have. This God here, I will go with you in poverty rather than to meet my own needs. And she goes with her to Israel, to a place where she will be an outcast. And they go and they're sitting there. And Naomi obviously doesn't have a plan because Naomi does nothing. Naomi just sits down. Anybody here been in so much despair you couldn't do anything? Right? Like I've done all I can. I'm home. Like, I don't know. I don't have a backup plan. Because, see, her husband sold their land. Now, by law, by the Jewish law, Leviticus 25:25 says that if any of you becomes impoverished then and you sell your property off, then one of your relatives needs to buy it back for you. Did anybody do that for Naomi? No. And she comes back, and Ruth is sitting with Naomi. Let me just say this again. Somebody else's dysfunction or brokenness or despair is not an excuse for you to live without hope. Come on. Who here, you say, God, I'll follow you when they? Nobody? Two of us? Right? No, there's this idea that I can't because they won't. I can't say yes to you, God. And then instead, so Ruth, says, hey, I'm going to go we can't starve to death. I'm just going to go gather grain in this field. And she goes out, and Ruth, and Naomi says, go do it. Go do it, sister. I'll sit back here and wait for you. Go at it. And we find out later, I mean, how dangerous this is. Because when she comes back, she has seen such favor of the person who owns the field, Boaz, whose name means God is my strength. And she comes back and he gives her favor. When she tells Naomi, Naomi goes, oh my gosh, there is still a God. See, Ruth's testimony was the evidence that it took to revive Naomi's faith. You think you're, I don't know about you, but I was just in this field and they gave me food. And Naomi's like, there is a God. You don't know how your testimony will change the heart of another person until you release it. And so she speaks it out, and Naomi goes, oh my gosh, God is real. She'd given up on God. Why do you think Naomi gave up on God?
She lost everything.
Who here, you've got evidence, right? You've got evidence, right? You know, I asked for this. This didn't happen. God did it. We have a story we tell ourselves. Okay, every single one of us has a story that we tell ourselves about God that is different than who God is. Because every one of us has suffered loss and we built a story around it. I'm just being real. And so that's why we have to live in community, because our stories challenge each other. And we don't even know we have these stories that need to be challenged. And say, Naomi's in this place. And when Ruth comes back, she's like, oh, keep going to that field, sister, because you could have gotten assaulted. Didn't you care? Now, here's the deal. If somebody treats me that way, what is my heart towards that person? If somebody lets me go out for them and risk their lives, and it's like, I don't know, my heart closes down towards that person. Can I be honest? You should have been protecting me. You should have been for me. You're the one who knows this town. You're the one who knows everybody. And you're not going out. I'm going out. And come to find out, I'm risking myself here. And you're okay with that? My heart closes down. See, I have a problem. I only want to do life with safe people. I only want to do life with good people. I only want to do life with honest people. I only want to do life with people who have my best interests at heart. Sorry, I did a little switcheroo on you there if you didn't notice. But because my idea of good is that they would put my best interests first. So what happens? If you guys remember, grab your Bibles, chapter 3. We're just going to do a few verses. So Ruth has been there for a couple months. She's working and working and working. She's working like a dog, and Naomi's sitting back and chilling and working on her tan, apparently. Again, what's your heart at this point? Nobody? All right. I've got to start writing. Okay, somebody does you like Naomi did Ruth. Now, I'll just tell you this. In my mind, I will do my best to justify their actions. Right. Who are my people, right? I'll try to be like, well, wah, 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 right? Uh-huh. But it only goes so far. So what else is happening in my heart? Resentment. Come on.
Bitterness.
Bitterness?
Betrayal.
Betrayal? What else?
Whatever.
That's good. Whatevs. Anything else? Do you think she trusts her?
No.
So here's the deal. The absolute essence of relationship is trust. Without trust, you don't have a relationship, right? Literally, you cannot have a relationship apart from trust. And here, Naomi is acting in a way that is not trustworthy. So let's watch Ruth. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." Now, we talked about this last week. What do you think are Naomi's motivations for finding a home? Provision? Who said? What is it? Naomi. Naomi's well-being. Okay. Ruth's well-being. So I'll just leave it right there. But the reality is, do you see mixed motives? Do you know what kind of motives you and I have? Always mixed. Always our motives are mixed. There's no such thing as a pure motive. Who are here? You're like, I will sacrifice mightily. But in the back of your mind, you watch this like highlight reel of you sacrificing in Christ. Nobody? Do you know what I'm talking about? And everybody will see how amazing I am, incredibly sacrificial. And then you're lying on the ground and like, nobody noticed? Why didn't anybody video me? I was sacrificing. Here's the deal. When we are interacting with people, the enemy will always point out the negative motives of other people. And why does he do that? He hates us. What? Distraction? He's an accuser. What do you think his end game is?
He wants to destroy us.
He wants to destroy us. You are on it, James. Come on. To break up relationship. Because if I believe your negative motives, then I cannot trust you. And if I can't trust you, I won't walk with you. So what? So I'm Ruth. I've watched for 2 months. Naomi's back there, sitting back there, you know, waiting for me to. I feel like this is like, what is it, David Copperfield, Oliver Twist, where all the kids bring all their money to the you know, the guy. And, you know, I feel like that. Like, it's like she's sitting there and Ruth, you know, what's Naomi doing? She's like, you know, like I said, working on her tan. And if I'm Ruth, I am struggling with my heart. And so she goes, now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash your clothes, blah, blah, blah. Go out there to him. Now, okay, you're being given this idea. What's your immediate reaction to this idea? What's she up to? Being used. Okay, what is the likelihood that you want to do this? Very low, right? Right? You can't tell me what to do. Oh, this is another one of your plots, right? Because literally what Naomi tells her to do sounds really risky. Can we be honest? The problem is, I'm already listening to the accuser. I'm already full of fear. What is the likelihood that I'm going to be able to hear God in this situation? If I am listening to fear, if I'm listening to the accuser, my ability to hear God is zero. And if I can't hear God, I can't get options. Because in the enemy, it's die quick or die slow. I'm just sitting down like, fine, I'll do it. But you can imagine Ruth. Like, this is Ruth, right? If I was Ruth, sorry. Just imagine. Okay. If I'm Ruth, with this heart, I'm like, fine. Hey, Boaz. Man, nothing is more attractive than bitterness, right? 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 Like, can we be real? Like, if, listen, doing the right thing with the wrong heart is the wrong thing. We keep thinking, if I can just know what the right thing to do is, then I'll be okay. Because the right thing God calls you to do can only work if it's empowered by Him. And it can't be empowered by Him when I'm being empowered by the evil one. Yeah. I can't do what God wants me to do if I'm doing it from this place of fear, offense, anger, rage, frustration, accusation. I don't know what happens with Ruth. Ruth is becoming my superhero. Because the Ruth I see goes, she goes, listen to what she says. She says, I will do whatever you say. Yeah. I've been in this situation. You see someone, they are doing their devil best to manipulate you. And what do you immediately want to do? Throw up gang signs and say, not on your life. Oh, you don't do that? Okay, no, but seriously, I'm like, right? Maybe I'll do it culturally. I'm so sorry. No. Right? But that assumes I've already excluded one option from what God can tell me what to do. Right? Because I've made a decision. Not there. Right. Jesus, they're manipulating me here. What do you want me to know about this? I would do it. Okay. You're being manipulated. God tells you to do it. What happens to your heart? All right, it's the reverse of the Grinch, right? It shrinks three sizes that day, right? Like, literally, doesn't something die inside of you? Do you know what dies? The part of me that's running my life. The part of me that's on the throne. The part of me that says, I know what's best for me. Listen, I don't know about y'all, but I've gotten to this point in life, I have zero clue what's good for me. Because the number of times I thought I knew what I needed, turned out it wasn't what I needed. And then when I was given what I thought I didn't need, it turned out to be exactly what I needed. Listen. I've gotten far enough in life to realize in my stupidity, I'm smarter than in my smarts. I will do whatever you say. I'm melting. Right? Like Ruth answered. Listen. Have you ever done this where you said, God said, do this, and you said yes, but inside you're dying, but as you went, you fully died? I promise you, every step that Ruth took, she had to make a step against offense towards Naomi and against fear towards Boaz. Right? Because listen, who are my people? You can game any situation. Like, you're like, okay, I'm going, okay. Okay, Boaz is going to be there, and then I'm going to do this, and then, right? And you've got it all worked out. That's living in the future, and it's hell. Ask me how I know. I'm a professional. Y'all can't play at the level of gaming that I do. I'm serious. You would not want to know the levels of hell I've taken to Masha 2 when I explained to her what was going to happen in the future. Because I have wisdom and insight, and it's a prophetic gift. No, that's the accuser of the brethren. Listen, all right. And so what she does, she's going, and she goes there. And this is amazing. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, was in good spirits. Oh, he's drunk. Of all things, he's drunk. Oh, Jesus, you can't protect me because he's drunk. Who are my people? You look at the circumstances and say, God, you can't protect me. God, you can't be for me. There's these. And he went over to lie down at the far end of the grave. And she approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned. There was a woman lying at his feet. He said, who are you? He said, I am your servant, Ruth. She said, spread the corner of your garment over me. This is a symbolic thing. Since you are my guardian redeemer of our family. So here's the thing. Who is owed the land? Naomi. Who should be negotiating this? Naomi. Who has the relationships? Naomi. But Ruth says, okay. And she goes, she says, you are the guardian of our family. Notice, she doesn't manipulate at this at all. She says, cover. She's saying, will you have mercy on me? Will you protect me? That's all she's saying. She's not saying what it looks like. She's not manipulating how the end result will be. She's simply saying, will you have mercy on us? End of story. She also doesn't add a little extra to make it happen on her terms. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God will use your weakness way before he'll ever use your strength. Lord, bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than which you showed me earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. First of all, what is he saying? First of all, it means he's older. Okay, I'm getting in the weeds right here, but just stay with me. You ever looked at somebody and say, why are you single? No? I get this all the ladies all the time. They're like, new single man comes in. They're like, he's single. Why? I know you ladies. Don't get it twisted. I know how this works. Like you're sitting there going, you're in a society where everybody's getting married and you are single, Boaz? Why? Right? You know, and I'm going to read between the lines as he was not a looker. I'm just saying, like, I'm reading between the lines. But stay with me. Stay with me. Not just the spouse he has for you, but the friends he has for you are not the ones you would choose, but they're the ones you need. And they're good for you. I can't tell you the number of times I've been offended at my friends. The quality of my friends. I think I deserve better. And God goes, they deserve better. You know, I always say every man marries above himself, you know, batting, you know, outruns his coverage, you know. But the reality is he in this moment, Boaz, because Ruth has not overplayed it, she allows Boaz to rise up and show mercy. He allows her to say, whoa. This is incredible. You are amazing. You have no power. You have no wealth. You have no ability. You are an outsider. You are rejected. And yet, I see your value. The kindness that you've shown me is greater than that which you've shown me. He said, don't be afraid. I will do all you ask, because all the people of my town know you are a woman of noble character. Who here, the worst thing is having people talk about you? Guess what? God wants people to talk about you.
That's right.
In the words of the famous prophet of country music, let's give them something to talk about. Listen, you can't control the narrative that people talk about you. Let your story go. So this is where I want to end. I was thinking about this today. Is we have, in our minds, we have needs and we have desires. So what makes something a need? You need it. You die without it. You need it. Right? Right there. What makes something a desire? Right? What I heard extra. What else? We want it. Okay. Want and need. So stay with me. What do you think Ruth wants? So, okay, wait. Okay, let's start with needs. What are Ruth's needs?
Food.
Shelter. Yeah. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Food, shelter, security, right? Okay, what do you think she wants?
Love.
All right, what else? Husband?
Joy?
Belonging?
Peace?
Respect? Okay, this is good. All right, peace. Okay, let me just tell you this. I'm going to let you in on a secret. We separate needs and desires because we don't understand the goodness of God.
Yes.
Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? See, God, every true desire was created as a need. You need love. Without love, you die. They've done studies, the Nazis, horrible studies.
Yes.
The Romanian government, horrible. Listen, without love, you die. Do you know the number one, they did the longest study of humans out of Harvard, and the only correlation between longevity and happiness are between it, that in determining how long you live. You know what it is? It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. It's not what job you have. It doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter how much exercise or lack of exercise. It doesn't matter if you smoke. It doesn't matter if you do drugs. So what is it? The number of relationships you have. You are not supposed to do this alone. Could Ruth have done this alone? If Ruth had said, "Forget you, I'll figure this out myself." Do you think the story might have gone differently? God, Naomi was God's means of blessing Ruth. I don't like that. You and I are surrounded by broken people with mixed motives. If we are constantly voting people off our island, we will find ourselves more and more alone, and we will be cut off from the very things God wants to give us. Listen, God does not mean for you to be alone. He means you to know love. He gave you a need for these things, honestly, so that you would pursue relationship with others, because you can never get your needs met by yourself. Desire is usually when I have taken my need and tried to figure out how to get it met by myself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You're like, I need deep love with people. But that's scary. So I'll settle for pleasure. That's when we split off desire from need, it never fulfills itself. It's like sugar versus meat. It will never satisfy. These desires point to the deep needs He gave us, but we will never have those needs met when we are protecting ourselves from the very people God has placed in our life who are broken, who are needy. Listen, Naomi had a reason for why she was that way, but not a justification. Does that make sense? Who are my people? You can see why people got there, but you can't justify it. Well, none of us can justify our silliness. But listen, the only people God is going to use in your life are broken, messed up people, because that's all He's got to work with. And that includes you. Does that make sense? And if I'm only going to partner with people when they meet my standards, I'm going to miss out on where God's calling me. So what we have to do is we have to keep coming back to this place. When people manipulate us, going, Jesus, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? I want you to do what they say. Okay, Lord, but I'm going to tell them I know they're manipulating me and I'm doing it anyway because I'm powerful. No. Anybody hear you add an addendum to the obedience?
Yes.
No. Okay, Lord, I will go. I will do. Sometimes he'll say not to do it. And you're like, okay, I want to not do it, but I don't want to look like a jerk or an idiot, so I'm going to tell them. Nobody? God will say, mm-mm. You know, it says Jesus was like a sheep before the shearers. He didn't open his mouth. Oh, I think with a lot of words, I could probably protect myself. No. Jesus, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Being obedient doesn't guarantee that the outcome of my obedience will be good. Stay with me. Anybody here been obedient and it didn't turn out well? Why? Because there's free will individuals. Things happen. People die. Things don't turn out right. But this is the image that God gave me a while back. And this is where I end. Given this example before, but and we have an electrical engineer could say whether this is true or not, is if I am trying to light up a light bulb, when I send electrons down the wire to light up that light, I can't tell if an electron will reach the light and turn it on or not. If I look at each electron and say, are you going to turn on the light? No? Well, then you don't go. Guess what? I can't guarantee which electrons, because along the way, many electrons will dissipate, maybe into heat, in other ways. But if I send enough electrons down the way, it will light up the light. I can't control which of my obediences will bring the great good result. But if I live a life of obedience and trust the result to him, it will be a good result. I can't, if I will only obey because it brings a good result, that's transactional. Yes. If I will obey and trust the result to him, that's trust. Yes. And I'm so grateful Ruth said yes. Because you and I are here today because Ruth said yes. Because Ruth's great-grandson was David, from whom Jesus the Messiah came. Yes. You don't get to control the effects of your obedience either. Because they're limitless. So if we could have the worship team come. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what area of obedience you're struggling with. I don't know what relationships you're struggling with. But I would just simply say, for me, the place that I have to keep coming back to is, God, my life is hidden with you. It's no longer I who live, but you who live in me. I don't get to. I've spent my life trying to tell me what to do, saying who I will trust, who I won't trust, what I will do, what I won't do. I'm horrible at that. God, it only brings me hell. God, I lay all that down and I say, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I want to live a new way. I want your perspective. What do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? If we can stand, let's worship.
For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.